I heard a preacher say this, a preacher for me not too long ago. He said, I believe in the qualifications of a pastor. And I said, amen to that. He said, there's a lot of pastors that don't meet that qualification of giving the hospitality. And I said, that's exactly right. And Brother Davey is definitely qualified in that area. They have been so kind to us. From the gifts from my boys in my hotel room and for my wife, and then a fruit basket with no fruit in it, amen. And boy, it's just been a blessing, and I appreciate all the kindness. And preachers, it's been an honor to be here. To get to go somewhere once is an honor. To get to go back somewhere twice is a miracle. And that's why I'm pastoring. I couldn't get nowhere to go back twice, amen. And I appreciate all the kindness. I appreciate you letting me be myself. And the pastor told me today, you don't have to, there's no pressure in here, and I feel that. There's some places I go, your pastor understands this, they want you to perform and preach, and I'm wide open most of the time. I had a good teacher, somebody say amen. The last night, God had us in a different gear, and I thank the Lord for helping us. I know I got some help last night, and if you don't mind, I'm going to be in that same gear tonight. I'm going to be slowed down a little bit. I've never preached this before, and the reason I've never preached this before is because I just got it this morning. And so if it flops, we won't tell nobody. I won't tell nobody if you won't tell nobody, amen? And it'll go in that place where all bad messages go, the recycle bin in my computer, amen? But I have a burden on my heart today, this evening, that I want to share and try to be a blessing and a help. And I believe if we're going to have revival in these days, that we're going to have to deal with this subject. And I hate to see the meeting come to a close tonight, but I'm excited about what God's done, and I'm already looking forward to Jubilee next year, amen? And we love coming around Gateway anytime. I'd come if I didn't preach. I'd just come sit in the room and come and eat, praise God, and just enjoy it and thank the Lord for that. 2 Samuel 23, I want to begin reading in verse 17 of 2 Samuel 23. Very familiar text of Scripture, but I hope the Lord will help us tonight. And I pray he'll make it fresh and anew in our hearts. The Bible says, and 3 of the 30 chief went down and came to David in the harvest time under the cave of Adullam. And the troop of the Philistines pitched in the valley of Rephaim. And David was then in a hold, and in the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. And 3 mighty men break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. And he said, be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is this not the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore, he would not drink it. These things did the 3 mighty men. I won't take the time to read it, but if you're interested in marking your notes, you will also find this account in 1 Chronicles chapter 11, verses 15 through 19. When you come to 2 Samuel 23 and 1 Chronicles chapter 11, we'll find this is a enumeration of the mighty men of David. We find there are some very interesting characters. If you've never, I trust you have. I know this is a Wednesday night crowd. I trust you have. But if you've never studied the mighty men of David, boy, what a study that is. There's a man in our text by the name of Eleazar, and the Bible tells us that he fought and the sword clave to his hand. I preached one time out of there on I will not lay my sword down. And let me say this, in this battle, we don't need to lay our sword down. There's a lot of guys that are trading it in for a new sword. Or trading in for a new version of a new sword, but I'm telling you, the old stuff still works, amen. But can I say this? The King James Bible is not the best translation for the English-speaking people. The King James Bible is the Word of God. Amen. I believe that with all my heart. And there's a man by the name of Eleazar. He was faithful. And there's a lesson to be learned from his life about remaining faithful in the battle for the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a man in this enumeration of the mighty man by the name of Shammah. I love Shammah, one of my heroes, Brother Buster Seaton preached, and I borrow the title. He preached on the life of Shammah on I've left my pea patch for the last time. He was in a, I won't take time to, if I start reading and I want to preach it, but he was assigned to a parcel of ground. The Bible said it was a ground full of lentils. That's where the pea patch was. And everybody else had ran away while the Philistines were coming in. But old Shammah stood his ground and would not let the enemy take his ground. Let me say this, there's a lesson to be learned in that man, that we don't need to back down. We do not need to quit, but we need to stand our ground. Having done all to stand, stand therefore. Then there's a man in these mighty men of David. I'm just trying to whet your appetite for a study. There's a man by the name of Benaiah. Benaiah was the man who slew two lion-like men of Moab in a pit on a snowy day, is what the Word of God says. And that instructs us the importance of standing and fighting for God, even when the situations are cold and dark and difficult. He still stood for God and fought in the battle. But tonight, I'm interested in this story we've read tonight in our text. Now, can I say from the get-go of the message, I do not expect to shout the house down. I forgot to start my timer, so I'll start it now. Amen. I do not expect to get many shouts tonight. I don't expect that, but I want to share my heart. Can I say this? Some churches want preachers to come in and make them all shout, and I enjoy shouting, but I want to give us something to chew on for the next few days. And God birthed my heart today. Here in our text, we find that there are three unnamed men in our verses. These three men have been called the three mightiest men of David. And the reason they were is because of their brave actions in our text tonight. In our text, we find that David is the man of God to these mighty men. If you will, he is the preacher, if you would, in our mindset. And I believe that every church member should be do for their man of God what these three men did for their man of God. I want to preach on this thought tonight, getting the man of God some water. Getting the man of God some water. Now, I'm going to say from the outset of this message, because I know Baptist, he ain't told me a thing. So don't be saying, well, how long have I been talking to the evangelist this week? He ain't told me a thing. But the Holy Ghost sat down in my office in the breakfast nook about 9:30 this morning. That was my office this morning, amen. And assigned this to me. I told my wife, this is a message I can never preach at my church, because Baptists would think it'd be self-serving. And this is a message he probably could never preach here. But I can preach it tonight. God's give us the green light. We find a man of God is, and let me say this, he may not can amen me much tonight, so I'm going to need some of you preacher boys and some of you preachers to help me tonight, amen. We find here that in this text tonight that David is the man of God, and I do not believe God put this story in the Word of God to take up space. God doesn't put anything in the Bible to take up space. Apparently, these three mighty men's actions, it meant something to God. It's done something for his heart. You know, when I think about the man of God by way of introduction, I think about the vision of a man of God. You know, God will give a man a vision. The Bible said where there is no vision, the people perish. You know what Paul's vision was? He said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. You know what the vision is for your man of God? To see your babies get saved, to see your families get saved and live for God and do right for God. That is the vision of a man of God. He's not here to make money. He's not here to lift up his name. But I'm telling you, a real God called man has souls on his heart and has souls on his mind. And you have that in a preacher, amen. The vision of a man of God, but then the value of a man of God. The Bible said in Ephesians 4, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. I heard somebody say one time, say, well, the pastor, he just thinks he's God's gift to the church. Well, according to Ephesians 4, he is. He is God's gift to the church. The evangelist is God's gift to the church and the value of a man of God. You ever thought about where you would be without a man of God in your life? You know what Paul said in Romans? Paul said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And boy, we like to shout on that verse. In fact, I'll shout with you. But I like what the next verse says. And how shall they call upon him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him who they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Have you ever thought about tonight where you would be if a man of God had not got up and opened up the Word of God, hung your soul over hell when you was lost without God, told you it wasn't in religion, told you it wasn't in riches, told you it wasn't in your raising, but it was only through the redemption of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Where would you be tonight without a preacher? I promise you, most of us, we'd be in divorce court, we'd be in jail, we'd be on drugs, we'd be on alcohol because the devil would take advantage of us. But I'm telling you, I'm so thankful that God put a man of God in my life and preaches the word of God to me without fear or favor of man. Thank God for the value of a preacher tonight. The value of a preacher. The Bible said in Jeremiah 3:15, and I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. If you've got a man of God and you do. See, the internet, I can creep in on y'all services, amen. And I listen to him preach more than he knows. And you got a man of God. He's preaching for us in June. You got a man of God that feeds you, and you know that. And that, and he has, the Bible said he gave you a pastor according to his heart. Amen. So I find the vision of a man of God, the value of a man of God. But what I'm interested in tonight is just the vulnerability of a man of God. That word vulnerability means he's susceptible to physical, emotional, or spiritual attack. You know your preacher is not Superman. There's not an S on my chest nor an S on his chest. We are not supermen. We are not super Christians. Sometimes it's thinking, and I hope tonight that we'll open up and let you see a side of a preacher you've never seen before. You see, the man of God, he hurts like you hurt. He gets discouraged like you get discouraged. But he has to hide it. You know, not every Sunday morning, and Pastor, if I'm out of line, you don't ever have to have him back in, but I'm just following the Holy Ghost tonight. There's Sundays I don't feel like preaching, Brother Tim. I don't feel like being there. I don't feel good physically. I'm about half backslid. I fought the devil all week. I fought carnal church members all week long. I've had to deal with all the Facebook posts and all the Instagram and all that stuff. And then but you know what I have to do? I have to get up behind my pulpit like I don't know anything's going on. And preach what God put on my heart to preach. Can I say that's the hardest thing a man of God will ever have to do? Do you know preaching is really the easiest part that we do? It's everything else that's hard. Somebody said, preacher, are you saying you have to fake it sometimes? Yeah, I've had to fake it before. I want you to see the vulnerability of a pastor. The vulnerability, he's made out of the same flesh that you and I are made out of. Amen. I want to say four things out of this text tonight. And I want to preach about getting your pastor some water. Somebody said, preacher, I stand behind my pastor. That's the problem. Your pastor does not need you to stand behind him. Your pastor needs you to stand beside him. Did you get a hold of that? Your pastor does not need you to stand behind, because most time when somebody's behind you is when you get stabbed in the back. I told you, I've been in church 25 years and 9 months, praise God. I went to church 9 months before I was born, and I know, somebody said, I'm behind you, preacher. That, when they scare me when they say that, I'd rather have them beside me. Amen. I'm not scolding you, church. I'd a whole lot rather preach something else, but I believe God's going to send revival. Somebody's going to get the preacher some water. I want to say four things very quickly. Number one, I want to say out of this text, the disposition of the man of God in verse 16. Notice in look at 1 Chronicles chapter 11 is where I want to take my points from tonight. I'm sorry, I should have told you to turn there. 1 Chronicles chapter 11 is where I want to take my points from. I apologize for not telling you to turn. It's a new message, amen. 1 Chronicles chapter 11, verse 16, the disposition of a man of God, the Bible said, and David was then in the hold, and the Philistines' garrison was then at Bethlehem. Where is David at when this text takes place? Well, three things. Number one, he's in a war. He's in a war. Somebody said, preacher, what do you mean? Well, as you study this out, you can mark the scriptures, but in the context, studying this today in the context, Brother Tim, it goes back to 2 Samuel chapter 5 and verse 17. That's a very interesting verse. It says, but when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines came up to seek David, and David heard of it and went down to the hold. Now, I don't want you to miss this tonight. God showed me this morning. when the Philistines, who can be a type of the world, the flesh, and the devil, you can always throw all three types with the Philistines. When they heard David was anointed, they came after him. Can I say this? You have a pastor who is anointed by God. And when a man of God is anointed, he's got a target on his back. From the world, the flesh, and the devil. The Philistines are coming after David. I promise you this, all God's people are in a warfare. The word of God tells us, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. But it's interesting to know that Paul wrote to the young preacher Timothy these words in 1 Timothy 6:12, to fight the good fight of faith. Yes. Apparently the preacher's got to do a little more fighting. Did you know there's a battle going on every time your preacher gets up to preach? Oh, you can't see it. First of all, he's dealing with a physical battle. Preaching is hard on the body. Then he is dealing with an emotional battle, because he sees people sitting out here like this. And then he's dealing with a spiritual battle, because all of hell is throwing everything they can to stop the man of God while he's a preacher. So I said, preacher, how do you know that? Because I'm dealing with it right now. Go ahead. Yes, sir. Amen. I'm dealing with all three, amen. And that's just how it is. And he's in a battle. You know, the man of God, he is under social attack. That's from the world. The world hates preachers. In the book of Genesis, the Bible said that the Egyptians would not have anything to do with the shepherds. It was an abomination. Now, I know that references back because of the escapade. I believe it was with Abraham or it was with Isaac. I can't remember. I know that's referencing back, but it's interesting. The world hated the shepherds. And the world still do hate the shepherds. They hate God's men. They hate them out. Oh, they like their Joel Osteens and their Stephen Furtick and their Joyce Myers and their Rick Warrens, who get up and they smile all the time and they tell you how good you are. They like those preachers. But I'm telling you, a man of God who gets up and preaches the word of God, line upon line, precept upon precept, preaches what God says, the social attacks, the world does not like him. Their social attacks. And then they're under sin's attack. That's the flesh. He has to deal with his flesh just like we all have to deal with our flesh. I have to deal with my flesh just like you have to deal with your flesh. Then he's under satanic attack. Let me say a little bit about that flesh, because I know I've been there. Preacher goes home sometimes on Sunday nights as I've done this and lay in the bed wondering, did I preach the right message? Could I have said this better? Could I have done this to help this family? Could I have handled this different? The reason I know that is because I've been there. And I've not been pastoring long. I know I have a lot to learn, but this is just a little bit I've learned. I'm telling you, he's under satanic attack. That's from the devil. Social attacks from the world. Sin's attacks from the flesh. But satanic attack, that comes from the devil. By the way, you fight all three, saying the world, the flesh, and the devil. So he's in a war. Y'all still with me? No, he's in a war, but he's weary. Somebody said, preacher, how do you know he's weary? Well, he's been fighting the Philistines ever since 1 Samuel 17. First one he fought against was named Goliath. And he killed the biggest one they had. And you would think, I've killed the biggest one, I'll never have to deal with them again. And for the rest of his life, Brother Mayo, every time he turned around, there's the Philistines. Let me say this, as we preached last night, you may win the battle against your flesh, against the devil in the world today, but it'll raise up its ugly head again tomorrow. It'll fight against you again. That's the battle we all face. Yeah, I say this, don't let super Christians lie to you and say they never. I heard a guy preach one time, said, I went through a day and didn't even commit a sin. I said he just did, he lied. We all have to deal with that. And David, for years, he's fighting the Philistines. Yes. But then leading up to 2 Samuel chapter 5, which is the context for our text, you know what's just happened? It's chapter 1, Saul has died. And for the last 10 years, he's been on the run from Saul. As best I can tell, around 10 years been running from Saul. And I hope you'll get this. He's not only dealing with the world, that worldly crowd, but he's having to deal with people who claim to be saved but have no spiritual desire or discernment. Saul, and I believe Saul's saved. We dealt with that last night. And that's who's on his tail all the time. Saul didn't have spiritual desires. He has spiritual discernment. And that's what David's been dealing with every day for 10 years. He's sleeping in caves. He's on the run. He's waking up in the middle of the night wondering, is Saul on my back? In fact, sometimes with Tim, it gets the best of him. He even said, he had a lapse of faith in 1 Samuel 27. He said, now I know I'm going to fall in the hands of Saul. And he's dealing with that every, and I'm telling you, I can handle the worldly crowd better than I can the carnal crowd. Because the world, they supposed to act like that. Can I say this tonight? And I know we're not jumping off the chandeliers, but this is what God put on my heart. Sinners act like sinners because they're sinners. But I'm going to tell you what wears me down is those that claim to be saved and they have no desire for the Bible. They have no desire for the things of God. I know this is Wednesday night. I know this is the backbone of Gateway, and that's who needs it. Those that have no spiritual desires, they just want to live for the world, the flesh, and the devil. They may be here Sunday, and they may not be here. They may be here for Wednesday night, and they may not be here. You never know if they're in or out, on or off, back and forth. You never can tell. And then they have no spiritual discernment. They'll jump on any bandwagon that comes along. They don't seek the counsel of the man of God. They don't seek the counsel from the Word of God. And David is dealing with this every day. And I'm going to tell you what that does. That wears you down spiritually, that wears you down emotionally, and it wears you down physically. And by the way, you may say, well, the preacher's the only one suffering. Don't forget, he's got a wife and children that are suffering like he is. Now, I don't mean this wrong, and I'm not a confrontational person. People can say anything about me they want to. I don't care. They ain't touching my family. They ain't touching my wife or my kids. And I'm telling you, there's been a lot of people, and I'm tough on preachers' kids because I am one. There's some preachers' kids, so I don't go to church with all them hypocrites. Well, let me say this. There's hypocrites at Walmart. There's hypocrites at Cracker Barrel, and I still go there. But I'm telling you, there's a lot of sorry church members one day that's going to answer to God because they treated a man of God so badly and treated his wife and kids so badly that they put a hatred for the things of God in their kids. And I'm not excusing their sin. I'm not excusing that, but they put a bad taste in their children's mouth, and now you can't get their kids in the house of God. Boy, I'd hate to have to stand before God with that on my record. Their kids are not perfect, and neither are yours. My kids are not perfect. In fact, my kids are the two demon children in our church. So I say amen right there. And there's attacks on every side. He is weary from dealing with this every day. He's weary. He's in a war. And say this, he's watching. The Bible said he was in the hold. That word hold means a fortress. It means a stronghold or a lookout point. Can I say this? While he's in the war, Brother Hunter, is that right? And while he's weary, he's having to watch to make sure the enemy ain't coming in. He ain't getting a break. He's in the war. He's weary. He's watching to make sure the Philistines ain't coming in and doing a sneak attack. And I'm telling you, while your man of God's in the war and while he's weary in body and in spirit, he's having to watch around to make sure the devil's not getting your children, make sure the devil's not getting your family, and then he'll get up and preach and warn you about sin and you'll get mad at him. I'm telling you, there's been times men of God have called, just about done everything but called my name, called my sin out, but I've never got mad at a preacher for telling me the truth because I know he loves me. He's watching out for me. The Bible said that he watches for my soul. He sees things that you don't see, sir. Ma'am, he sees things that you do not see. And I'm telling you, that's the disposition of the man of God. Secondly, I got to hasten. There is the desire of the man of God. Look at verse number 17. The Bible said, and David longed and said, oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well at Bethlehem that is at the gate. Notice this. I think David here is doing something we like to call thinking out loud. He's not giving a command. He's not giving an order, and he could have. But he's laying up and said, oh, he's got a desire. Can I say what he had a desire for? Three things. I hope you'll see it in this verse. I'm not doing harm to the text, but I hope you'll see this. Number one, he has a desire for a warrior. Look what he said in our text. And David longed and said, oh, that one. He said, I just wish I had one. I'm telling you, there's sometimes the man of God will preach and say, boy, I wish I had one. So I said, preacher, we're all, I was talking to a man this morning and their pastor is on the verge of resigning. And it was a church member or a man used to go to church there. And he was trying to encourage one of the men in the church to, hey, you really need to get beside your preacher and hold his hands up and back him up. Well, the moron went to the preacher and said, we do back you up when you make a decision. He said, I ain't talking about that. He said, that's what you say, man, and smile when I preach. Did you know when you smile and say amen to the preacher, that's like putting wood on his fire? He's going to preach it whether you do or not. But I'm telling you, it'd make it a whole lot easier on him, and any preacher for that matter, if you'd get with him. Somebody said, well, I don't agree with what he's saying. Hey, I was preaching Sunday morning, and I had somebody say, oh me. We've always said, say amen or oh me. I had one say, oh me. I about died laughing. I said, finally, somebody got honest. Of course, they went back Sunday night, but I mean, see, you know, I pastor Baptist. He just wanted one. He had several, but he said, oh, that one. That's the picture. I know I'm lifting out of the context, but sir, he needs a man that'll stand with him. So, preacher, somebody said, I want to kill this snake before it rises head up. So that's why we pay Brother Tim. I knew it'd get quiet right there. Preacher, I'm sorry. If you never want me to come back, that's fine. But I'm telling you, it ain't but it is his job, but it's your job too. Yes, sir. To stand with him. We need some Abishais. You know what Abishai, you know who Abishai was? He's that fellow Shimei was cussing David and kicking dirt out on him. And Abishai said, let me at him. Come on, let me at him. I'm going to take his head off. And David had to hold him back. I got a boy in my church. I love him. He was in prison about 6 years ago, and God has saved him. God called him to preach, and some people were running me down on Facebook the other day, and he called me and said, preacher, let me at him. Let me at him. I said, no. I said, son, no, we don't need you to go back to prison. But you know what that did? Even though I had to hold him back, you know what that did? That encouraged me. No, I got one, praise God. And I know I got more than one. Actually, he was wanting a warrior. Can I say this? He was wanting water. What does that water represent? Now, I know in typology, running water is a picture of the Holy Spirit. Still water is a picture of the Word of God. But practically, what does water do? Number one, it's refreshing. Right. How many times have you come to church and you've been weary and you've been down, and that man of God opened up that Bible and preached, and your soul was refreshed? It was encouraged. And you didn't feel like, especially them Wednesday night services, we've had a hard week at the job and at school. And you, man, how am I going to make it? Suddenly the man of God would get up with God on him and give you something to refresh your soul. Can I say this? David said, I've been refreshing other people's soul, but I wish I had one that would refresh my soul. If he's done that for you, you ought to do that for him. You ought to refresh his soul. Then water's only refreshing. Water is, it's a big word. Brother Sam will be proud of me. Water is rejuvenating. It just puts something in you. You know what they tell you? If you sweat a lot, if you work a lot, what they tell you? Drink water. It'll help you. It'll give you strength. And boy, the man of God's preached the Word of God and given you strength and refreshment. And he needs the same thing. He needs you to come along beside him, pat him on the back, say, preacher, I just want you to know I love you. I appreciate you. I think. So I said, well, he knows that. Hey, he needs to hear it at least 3 times a week, at least Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and sometimes get a call or a text message. Because I'm telling you, this battle's real. This thing is hard and tough. But it helps to know somebody's in your corner. Amen. Water is refreshing. It's rejuvenating. But then it's replenishing. Water puts back what the flesh has worked out. It restores. It replenishes. And ain't you glad for the times the man of God's opened the Word of God and it's restored your heart and restored your soul and encouraged you. He needs that too. The warrior, the water. Bible says cold water is hard to a thirsty soul. So is good news from a far country. No, it said good news. Can I give you some advice from a pastor? Don't tell him about your problems before he preaches. I mean, he'll come, because I've done this. I called my daddy after I started pastoring. I'm going to hurry, preacher. Am I okay? After I started pastoring, I called my dad. I said, I need to apologize to you. He said, for what? I said, for all them Sunday mornings, I came and sat in your office and didn't need anything and just looked at you. I said, that's really annoying. Now, I don't know if anybody does that here. I just don't know. But he's trying to get with God. But Tim, God. Well, he don't have to do that to be annoying. That's just... And so he'll come in, have a message burn on his heart, and then you come in and tell him about everything that blew up in your life this week. Hey, he wants to hear about it. He wants to help bear your burden, but not before he goes and preaches the Bible. Yes, sir. Wait till after church or make an appointment with him. Now, I might be blowing y'all's protocol out of the water tonight, but I'm going home later this week, so I mean, if this is my last time, it's been good, praise God. I'm just telling you, it was replenishing the water. But then notice this, there's the warrior in the water, but then there's the well. I'm a hurrying, but there's the well. He said, the well of Bethlehem, which is at the gate. Now, please forgive me if I'm taking this too far, but Tim, we like that typology, a gate, something you go through. He said, I'd like to get some of that going through water, which is by the gate, that well. So I know I can make it through. I may be lifting out of its context, but when you preach it, you can preach it right there. Here's what I'm saying. Sometimes he's no preacher. We're going to make it through. It's going to be all. How many times he got up and said, church, we're going to make it through? Sometimes he might need to hear that in return. The disposition of a man of God, the desire of the man of God. Number three, can I say a word about the dedication of these mighty men? Let me say three things about them. Number one, they were close to the man of God. Now, I know they was close, Brother Dallas. I don't believe David's standing in the cave going, oh, that I wish I had. I'm paraphrasing. If he had some Bowling Springs, he said it like this. Oh, that I wish I had some water from that well at Bethlehem, which is by that gate. That ain't how he done it. I believe he's leaning up against the wall somewhere, brother. He said, oh, I wish I had a drink of water. And they were close enough to the man of God, they could hear his heart. Hope we get an amen out of this. When you're distant from the man of God, you won't know. Can I take care of this real quick? Somebody said, preacher, we take care of him financially. Taking care of the man of God is not just financially, even though that's a big part of it, and you ought to, and I believe in that. But it goes beyond finances. Sometimes he just needs a shoulder. He's been your shoulder to lean on. Sometimes he'll lean on your shoulder and have encouragement from you, praise God. I'm not scolding you tonight. I hope you know that. I'm not trying to scold anybody. I don't do that. I want to encourage you. God is doing a work here at Gateway. You know that. And if we're going to see God move in revival, somebody's got to get the preacher some water. So they're close to the man of God. You see, when they're close to him, they can hear his heart. They know his desire. You know why Elisha, hey, young preachers, listen to me carefully. I'm not far. I'm still a young preacher. I'm still learning. But can I give you some advice? And I think you know this. Stick real close to your preacher. I mean real close to him. Because Elisha stayed close to Elijah, and that's why he got the double portion. You see, a lot of people... I heard a preacher preach about that. Brother Joe preached about the holding that rope for the basket. And buddy of mine, Brother Keith Voles, made this statement. He said, instead of preachers holding the rope for the man of God, they're trying to get the basket. That's not your basket. That's not your basket. I'm just pointing the ones I know. That's not your basket. But God called you to hold that rope. That's not your basket. I don't know wherever you're at. That's not your basket. I'm pointing at you. There's so many preachers here. If you'll hold his rope, you got a Paul in your basket. Everybody can't be a Paul, but we all can be a Barnabas. He was close. Can I say this? They were concerned. I see concern in these men because they knew their preacher had a need, and they wanted to do everything they could to do to meet that need. Automatically, as I said, we think of money, but it goes far beyond that. We see in Exodus 17, Moses' hands are weary. When he raised his hands, they're winning the battle. You remember that story? When his hands got heavy, Israel began to lose in the battle. Moses didn't need somebody to walk up and say, here, preacher, here's a $100 bill. But if you got a $100 bill you want to get rid of tonight, we'll be glad to relieve you of that. Amen. I don't have to even pray about it. There's some things, Brother Mayo, you don't have to pray about. But in that text, Moses didn't need somebody to say, here, Brother Moses, here's a $100 bill. God bless you. He didn't need money. He needed some men. And God, Aaron and Hur walked over there, picked up Moses' hands and held his hands up. When the man of God's hands were raised, God's people had victory. Amen. Now, you need to take care of your man again. I believe you do. Take care of the man of God. But just don't give your offering and think that's it. Amen. I know it's quiet. But I believe God's working tonight. They were close. They were concerned. Can I say this? They were combative. The Bible said they break through. They break through. Verse number 18. And the three break through the host of Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. In other words, they said, we're willing to fight for our preacher. Abishai, he wasn't in this three. As far as I can tell, we can't find out who these three men were, but Abishai had the mentality, you ain't going to talk about my preacher. Guys, that's a good mentality to have. Whether it's on the phone or it's on the Facebook, y'all don't let anybody talk about the man of God. Amen. Somebody said, well, they're my friends. Well, you need to find some new friends. Amen. If they're running down the man of God, they are not right with God. Somebody said, well, I didn't agree with what he done. Well, I don't mean that's wrong. God didn't call you to agree with him. God called you. God's called every man in this church to do one or two things, to be a pastor or to back a pastor. As far as I can tell, he's the only one here that God's called to be a pastor. So everybody else is called to back a pastor, be beside a pastor. I'm not scolding you tonight. I love you. I want to encourage you. That's what this mess is. Not a scolding, it's an encouragement. Get your preacher some water. They were combative. They stood for their preacher. Can I say this and I'm done? The reason they knew, I'm going to give you a fourth point and I'm done. I appreciate you listening tonight as I bare my heart. I was dreading preaching this to my wife. I don't know how this will go over, but we're going to take a swing at it. The reason these men knew, broke through that host of the Philistines for David, because they knew that he would do it for them. They said, our preacher would do that for us, so we're going to do that for him. You don't know the nights he's laid in bed awake praying for your children, praying for your prodigal, praying for your marriage, praying for that job you lost, praying for that cancer in your body, that need in your life. And if he's done that for you, and I know he has, and you know he has, you ought to spend some nights up saying, Lord, would you please bless my preacher? Would you please bless his family? Because I want to go get some water for him, because every Sunday and every Wednesday and every Sunday night, he goes and he gets some water for me. I'd like to get some water for my preacher tonight. There's the disposition of the man of God. There's the desire of the man of God. There's the dedication of the mighty man. But last of all, there's the display. There's the display of the man of God. Here's how I know these three mighty men, Brother Tim, were godly men because of what David done next. Look at verse 18, the latter part. But David would not drink of it, but poured it out unto the Lord and said, my God forbid it me that I should do this thing. Shall I drink the blood of these men that have put their lives in jeopardy? For with their jeopardy of their lives they have brought it. Therefore he would not drink. These things did the three mightiest. I want to say three things. Number one, there is a pouring out. The text tells us he would not drink it because he called it the blood of these men. So you know what he done? And I'm not going to pour water out on the carpet tonight. But he poured that, he took that cup of water. I'm guessing it was a cup. It may have been a canteen, something like that. We don't know. But he took it. He said, I'm not going to drink this, but I'm going to pour it out as an offering to the Lord. You see, and I hope this is what God helped me with this morning. I know other people have seen this, but I saw it this morning. When they were good to the man of God, God got worship and God got an offering. How many daddies we got in the building tonight? Raise your hand if you're a daddy. How many of you like getting things when somebody gives you something? Praise God. Get your hand up if you like getting things. You lying if you don't, praise God. If you don't like getting Christmas and birthday presents, send them to 270 Duns Mountain Church Road, Salisbury, North Carolina, 28146. I'll open every one of them and enjoy it. But I'm going to tell you what I enjoy more. I enjoy when people are good to me. But I'll tell you what I enjoy more. When we walked in that hotel room Monday, and I saw them two little buckets of gifts you had for my boys. That meant the world to me because you were good to my children. Can I say this? When you're good to one of God's children, he likes that a lot. Oh, you daddies, admit it, Christmas morning, you don't even care. You used to be, when you was a kid, and I still enjoy open presents. But now, it ain't about us. We want to watch our children. We want to watch them enjoy it. And he poured it out to God. There's a production in this. I'm getting, my notes are all gone. I'll throw out the outline. There's a production. David Learn, he had some men that was with him. He had at least three. I believe it's in Chronicles, he had 37 in all. Or Samuel, he had 37 mighty men, but he had three he knew he could count on. And then there's a please, and the shepherd was pleased. David received something to help him keep going on for the glory and honor of God. It's interesting, when David received this water, I'm just about done. I appreciate your attention tonight. All week, it's just been great liberty to preach. When David got that water, if we go back to 2 Samuel 5, where that context is, you know what God done? There's still a battle going on. God gave the man of God a word on how to win the battle. I ain't got time to prove it to 2 Samuel 5. He said, well, you hear the going in the tops of the mulberry trees. David, how are we going to win this battle? He said, well, I got a word from God. You see, if you'll get your man of God some water, God will give him a word to give to you to help you win the war. The shepherd was pleased. Can I say the soldiers were pleased when they saw David pour that out? I don't see them arguing. Say, he don't know what we went through to do that. You see, that water was not, David said, I'm not going to consume it upon my own lust. Paul put it like this, not that I desire a gift. I know he's talking about a missionary offering, but the context fits. Not that I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. And then I believe the sovereign was pleased. And I've done touched on that. When they were good to his son, David, I believe God was pleased. Somebody said, preacher, how do you know God was pleased? Because he put it in not one, but two books of the Bible. A story that he could have, you know, I want you to think about the importance of that. David and Goliath, only in one book. Only in one book, David and Goliath. But these three mighty men, they went and got that water for their preacher. God said, I want you to put them in Samuel and then put it in Chronicles too. Because I want people to know that I appreciate God being good. Can I tell you this? We was joking around about this last night, and God recalled this verse to my heart this morning when I was studying. For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. Can I say, if you'll be good to the man of God, it won't cost you anything. It won't hurt you. You won't miss it. Galatians 6 said, as therefore we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially unto them which are the household of faith. I went back on the website to see if I told this illustration last year, and I did, but I feel led to share it again, I want you to see the importance of being good to God's people, and I'm done. Brother Kevin Munson pastors in our area, and some of you, he's been here at Jubilee before, and last year his house burnt to the ground, lost everything they had. And God, on a Wednesday night, there was church taking up offerings, and on a Wednesday night, a few weeks later, God led on, I said, let's at least try to take some money and buy him a suit and buy his wife a dress. Before it was over, God's people gave. We took up $2,000 out on a Wednesday night crowd. We only run about 75 on Wednesday night, 75 to 80. You know what God done 2 weeks? And I love this, what we done. I called him up and said, Brother Kevin, I need you to meet me at the Steak and Shake on exit off of Delhart Boulevard. I need to take you to Concord Mills, and don't ask me why. We walked to Hagar Suit Store, and I quoted Galatians 6:10. As therefore we have opportunity, let us do good to them and to the household of faith. I said, Preacher, the Lord wants us to buy you a suit. He cried, and He's a big guy, and he cried and blubbered, you know, and we bought him that suit, you know, but I talked to him today. And then we walked out of there. I said, we need to go somewhere else. And we walked into the, how many of you ladies know, the dress barn. By the way, dress barns, is that the best thing y'all could come up with for nice dress barn? Not the dress palace, not the dress, you know, tea room, the dress barn. I go down, I don't know if a goat's going to be opening the door for me or what. There were a few heifers in there, though. I'm sorry. I should have said that. Can we? I was doing good up until right there. Hey, but I used to be a cow, so I can talk about it, praise God. And we went in there, and I said, I know your wife's not here. And I said, but we're going to get her a $150 gift card so she can come get her dress. He cried and shouted. I said, by the way, you're going to need some dress shirts. We walked down, and every store we went in, I quoted Galatians 6:10 to him. Said, we're going to buy some. We went and bought some shoes. Then we spent $500, and I had a $1,500 check in my shirt pocket. We sat down at the steakhouse, and I said, Brother Bunsen, bless the food. And he began to cry, and while he's praying, I know you're not supposed to keep your eyes open when you pray, but I took that check in my pocket and just opened it and just slid it right in there in front of him. He opened his eyes, he began to weep. We rejoiced there. So I said, preacher, why'd you tell that? Because 2 weeks later, we had a little Monday and Tuesday night meeting schedule. And we went for 2 weeks. And God saved seven. God blew in our church and done things in our church in those days that I've never seen him do. So I said, preacher, do you name that to a preacher? Oh, God used this preacher, don't get me wrong. But I told my people, we were good to one of God's children. And in return, God said, I'm going to be good to them. In fact, I'm going to sit down and go to church with them for 2 weeks. Somebody said, preacher, will we see revival? Oh, yes, we will. Yes, we will. You know, my church takes very, very good care of me. And every time they've bought me a car and given me a raise and they'll take up offerings. And I'm telling you, there's been more than one time the next service will be blowout and God save somebody and God do something. You know why? Because God honors a church that honors his man. Somebody needs to get the preacher some water. And he needs to know that. Pastor, if I'm out of line, you can rebuke me later and I'll submit to your authority. But I'd like for you and your wife and your children to come stand in front of the church. And I want the people to come give you some water tonight. I want you to come around. I know we ain't normally do this, and if I'm wrong, he'll take care of me later. But I believe instead of just saying, well, he knows that, I believe you ought to come tell him tonight. And by doing that, you're bringing the man of God water. Pastor, if that's okay, would you please come? Come on, Elijah, Brittany, Chloe, Miss Renee. Y'all come stand down here, and I want you to come. And I want you to let them know how much you love them, how much you appreciate them. Some of you may not be right with the man of God. You ought to get right with him tonight and say, preacher, I've not backed you like I should, but I'm not going to back you anymore. I'm going to stand beside of you, hold your hand. Come on. This is the invitation. This is it. You need to tell them that. Just don't do it out of formality. You need to let them know. You need to let them know. You need to let them know. If it's okay, Miss Erin, when you get through, you can go play. You can shake them. When you get through, you can go play something there. Bring your preacher some water tonight. And let them know you love them. Let them know you appreciate them. Let his kids know that you, I know you do, but let them know again. Let them know again. And bring him some water tonight. Miss Errol gets to the line. She's going to play something there on the piano. Maybe you need to pray. We can do that. But I've tried to mind the Holy Ghost of God tonight. Make sure you tell them you love them and you thank God for them. You're going to bring them water and hold their hands up. That's God's man. God's man. You've got church. You've got one of God's choice men. I think you know that. I believe you know that. Y'all let them know. When you get done, just go back to your seat. You can have a seat there. Sometimes it takes a little time to tell folks you love them, you appreciate them. Maybe you need to pray and say, God, from this day forward, I'm not going to stand behind my pastor. I'm going to stand beside my pastor. I'm not going to let people run him down. I'm going to back him while he preaches. I'm going to encourage him. I'm going to send him a text, say, preach it, man of God, preach it. Because I need to hear from heaven. My baby, hey, sir, you know the only thing standing between your children and the flames of hell is that man of God with his Bible preaching what thus saith the Lord. Think about the value of a man of God. That's wonderful, church. That's wonderful. These are precious times. Precious times. Church, I didn't preach this tonight to scold you or tell you you're doing anything wrong. I preached to encourage and to strengthen the things that remain. Everything I preached tonight, you've heard before. But I hope it encouraged and stirred some things in your heart, a reminder that we're in this thing together. In the same battle, loving the same God, headed for the same place, and we're going to make it by the grace of God. Wonderful. Wonderful. That thank you, Lord, for your blessings. As the world looks upon me, as I struggle along, they say I have nothing, but they are so wrong. In my heart, I'm rejoicing. God bless you. God bless you. They could see. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. 'Cause there's a roof up above me. I've a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. Now I know I'm not wealthy, and these clothes are not new. I don't have much money. Oh, the Lord, I have you, and to me, that's all that matters. Though the world may not see. Sing it. There's a roof up above me. I've a good place to sleep. There's food on my table, and there's shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. So your blessings on me. I've been blessed. Same key. When he walks among us, all that he does, all of His mercy and all of His love. Think about it. If the pen of the writer could write every day, even this world could never contain how I have been blessed. Oh, there's warmth in the winter, flowers in spring, the laughter of summer, the changing of leaves. There's food on my table, a good place to sleep, clothes on my back, and shoes on my feet. Oh, I have been blessed. Here's a good verse for tonight. A father and mother who nurtured and raised, a brother and sister, sweet memories made. Our pastor to lead us, this altar to pray, stripes that can heal, and the blood that still saves. Oh, I have been blessed. Sing it if you know the chorus now. Oh, I've been blessed. Oh, I have been blessed. God's so good to me. Precious are His thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them. There's not enough time. So I'll just thank Him for being so kind. For God has been good, so good. I have been blessed. Think about this, church, while you're shaking hands. Arms that will raise, and a voice that can talk, hands that can touch, and legs that can walk, ears that can listen, and eyes that can see. So I've got to praise Him as long as I breathe, 'cause I have been blessed. Oh, we live in a country, it's the greatest on earth. Our flag stands for freedom and what freedom's worth. She stands in the harbor, Miss Liberty tall. All have gave some, but some gave it all, so we could be blessed. I know this verse is the truth. I know you know it as well. He's my shoulder to lean on when I am down, that rock where He leads me when I'm overwhelmed, the place where He hides me there under His wing. He's not just a song, He's the reason I sing. Oh, I have been blessed. Precious are His thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them. There's not enough time. So I'll just thank Him for being so kind. God has been good, so good. I have been blessed. God's been good in my life. I've been blessed beyond my wildest dreams as I go to sleep each night. Sure, I've had my share of hard times, but by my side He's always stood through it all. God's been good. He's been good to us tonight, church. Sweet time in God's house tonight.